This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joined now by our colleague, Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer. Barrett, welcome to the show. How you doing? Hope you're staying safe and staying sane.
Safe for sure. Sane. We'll see about that. We'll see what happens when school starts back up. But good to be with you, TV.
Yeah, likewise. Or doesn't start back up, which is
that would be the deciding factor of staying sane. For
that
sure.
is definitely right, Barrett. What is the Big 12 waiting for? I know they don't have quite enough teams to have like a full schedule, but what are they waiting for? There's nothing else they can do with everybody else going conference only, right?
Well, there still is, because the ACC tried to strong-arm the SEC and have the plus one where it has to be played in an ACC state. And so I think the Big 12 could take advantage of that if it wants to. I don't know if it wants to, though, because if they have a conference-only slate and they self-contain it and maybe they play two out-of-conference games against group of five teams or whatever, then it probably is going to make itself look pretty good to the selection committee, considering it, you know, I think the Big 12 is going to have some pretty good teams this year. So, really, I think it's the only thing that's holding it up is, you know, trying to figure out the best course of action, because there are still three or four paths that can be successful. But I think everybody right now, all these conferences and these commissioners, have been playing essentially a game of one-upsmanship, trying to outdo the other while still bettering their conference, as opposed to a month ago when they were kind of working hand in glove together. And then Kevin Warren at the Big Ten changed that very quickly with his decision to go conference only.
Yeah, no, we all saw that. The ACC then came, and we know the SEC and the Pac-12 have followed suit, but they're all starting at different times. And it's interesting that you mentioned the college football playoff and, you know, how this works itself out. I don't know if there is any real way to make it fair this year. Can it even happen? I mean, it can't be fair.
No, it's not. I said this when the SEC announcement was made yesterday, that I think the SEC is actually more likely to get two teams in now, because you're going to rely more heavily on the eye test, because there's nothing else to compare these teams to each other with. DQ, when you look at SEC teams via the eye test, you see NFL players everywhere. I mean, they are everywhere. So, I think that's it's going to be nearly impossible to really determine which teams are the best teams in the country. So, I don't know if the playoff committee makes changes to it. I know that they're at least talking about how to do this in the proper way, the same way, or a different way. But I think conference only, especially for the Pac-12, you know, because it is starting kind of at the same time as the SEC and starting late, from a visibility perspective, you're not going to get an awful lot from the Pac-12. So I think it really hurts them to go conference only. Although I do like that we get some really good games right out of the gate, including UCLA and USC. That's Arizona and Arizona State Commonwealth Cup. How about that? But it's going to be an interesting time. It's going to be a very weird fall.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And it's going to be like basketball and baseball, to be honest, with a 60-game season. It's must-watch football. You got to watch it, because every game matters. You get a bad loss, you're not recovering from it. We're talking to Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer here on Tiki and Tierney. So I hate to think about the end before we even get to the beginning, because the season hasn't started yet. But that's the real compelling part of this. Like, bowl games have serious issues, right? Whether the state that they're in is going to even allow it, whether the travel is going to be an issue. Do you think that there could be a scenario where the college football playoff, because we don't know whether the bowl games are going to be played, actually just pick a national champion BCS style?
I really hope so, because I love controversy.
That's great.
Oh, man, that would be so much fun. I don't think that would be the case. I think if they can, they'll, you know, having four teams in a bubble, not that hard. You know, that really isn't that hard. So,
good point.
You know, I think they would do everything in their power to make it as legitimate as possible. And honestly, I think they'll be able to do that. Relatively easy. I think the bowl games themselves, we just saw the Redbox Bowl in San Francisco, is not going to be played this year. You know, you might see some lower to mid-tier bowls just say, all right, we can't do this. We're not going to have the ability to have a compelling matchup, especially considering the, you know, conference championship games for basically every conference are going to be 2 weeks after they normally are. So, yeah, you know, the regular bowls are in jeopardy for sure, especially the lower tier ones. I'm interested though in the college football playoff, because, you know, they're supposed to be on New Year's Day at the Rose and Sugar Bowls, the semifinals. If you play the 16th or the 17th in a conference championship game, and you turn around and you have Christmas break, and then you have bowl semifinal right after that, is that enough time? And I've floated the idea, and I think that people should listen to me in places of decision, that why not push the semifinals back to mid-January and play the national championship game the week before the Super Bowl or the Saturday of the Super Bowl?
That would be cool. That actually would make football like king. I mean, it's already king around the Super Bowl, but instead of watching the Pro Bowl, which I think is not even going to happen this year, instead of watching the Pro Bowl, seriously, watch the oh, that would be amazing. That's a great idea,
awesome,
Barrett.
And it wouldn't start at 9 o'clock on a Monday night either.
Yeah.
You know, started at like 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, 6 o'clock on a Saturday night, the week before the Super Bowl. Everybody would watch.
You see what you get from CBS talent here? You get great ideas that make the most sense for getting this
thing
done.
But nobody's going to listen to me, especially in college football, because we're so beautifully dysfunctional that every good idea is actually secretly a bad idea.
Well, Barrett, you're joking there, but you're actually very serious.
Right,
you're saying it facetiously, but you mean it.
Exactly.
The NCAA, I mean, we know it's an association, so it's all the team, all the organizations, the member teams, organizations are part of the NCAA, and we don't want to necessarily blame Mark Emmert, but why has there not been a lot of coordination or direction or like focus on this? It's like, all right, good luck, figure it out yourself, and I guess we'll parachute in at some point, right? And doesn't it feel like that?
It's exactly what it is, and beautifully dysfunctional. That's exactly what it is. You know,
you pre-answered my question.
Yeah, the leadership is of the NCAA is really just a you know, it's the schools, and Mark Emmert can say and do whatever he wants, but no one's got to listen. That's exactly why the NCAA released guidelines for COVID testing, not rules, because it can't give anybody any rules, because it really is a vacant governing body. So, you know, I think it's a bizarre time, because, you know, I think for 3.5-4 months, most of these Power Five commissioners were kind of working together. You know, they understood their job was to look out for their own conference, but they also understood that the best interest of college football was at play. And then everything sort of fell apart 3 weeks ago. And you sort of had this game of one-upsmanship, you know, with the Big Ten doing what it did first. Pac-12 kind of was going to do that anyway. And then the ACC basically forcing the SEC's hand to say, all right, look, if you want the four big-time ACC, SEC interstate rivalries to be played, then every other game between the two conferences has to take place in an ACC state.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't sit well in the SEC office in Birmingham, I can tell you that. So it stopped being about we, and it started being about me over the course of the last 3 weeks in these conferences. And that's why you have this disjointed nature of different schedule format, different out-of-conference rules, and different starting dates. And, man, it's wild.
Yeah, but the ACC is in a place of power, honestly, because of Notre Dame now. they can say, yeah, we can play with Notre Dame. We got two powers in our conference right now. We can make this interesting just with us, right? And so they kind of have some power. Do you think that that power play works with the SEC?
I think it did a little bit, because I think it basically made the SEC's decision for it.
Yeah.
Because the SEC got mad. I think with Notre Dame and the ACC, you know, that's just John Swofford going out with a bang, you know, convincing Notre Dame to share its NBC revenue with the rest of the conference for this year. That is an enormous deal for the conference financially, especially considering these are strange financial times and uncertain financial times. But you're right about the ACC being compelling. You know, it was Clemson and everybody else, and, you know, people like to hate on Notre Dame or they love Notre Dame, but the truth of the matter is Notre Dame's a top 10, top 15 team pretty much every year.
Yep.
So having that in the conference is going to be great, on top of the fact that you have one of the best defenses in the country in Miami, and you have an up-and-coming team in Louisville. You know, the fact that you have those teams, plus the fact that whoever Clemson plays in the conference championship game is probably going to be the best opponent they've faced in a conference championship game over the last half decade, simply because there are no divisions, and you actually will get the second-best team in the conference in that game. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
I think the ACC has gone from, you know, basically being a snoozer every single year, in a contest to see who gets their butts kicked by Clemson and Charlotte, to, you know, a pretty compelling league.
Hey, that was Virginia last year. Watch it. That was my alma mater.
I mean, I'm just saying, it was still the same thing.
I know. We're talking to Barrett Salee, CBS Sports college football writer. Before I let you go, Barrett, Caleb Farley, Virginia Tech, staying in the ACC just because it's coincidence, is opting out. We're seeing people opt out in the professional sports league because of health reasons. He's opting out also because of health reasons. He doesn't want to – he referenced his mother who passed away a couple of years ago. He doesn't want to risk bringing anything home to his family. So he opts out to prepare for the National Football League draft. Urban Meyer kind of suggested this. Do you think this becomes a trend, or is this – we'll only see a handful of these?
I think we'll see a select handful, and it's not even really, you know, necessarily predicated on just really good players. It's really good players who are not going to hurt their stock at all, mm-hmm, both on the field or as a character concern. And I don't think it's a character issue for a player to leave. I mean, good for Caleb Farley. Go get ready. I mean, you're a first round draft pick, but his stock wasn't going to change, you know. But a player like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback doing that's different, and then B, you never know which quarterback, like Joe Burrow last year, out of nowhere to become the number one pick. Kyler Murray, out of nowhere to become the number one pick.
Yep.
It's a much more of a risk for these high-profile players at high-profile positions. So I do think you'll see, you know, a few of these, with guys who, you know, just have their spot basically solidified and are going to be going through the motions anyway. Like you saw with Nick Bosa 2 years ago, who sat out after three games and got hurt. You'll see it, but is it going to become, you know, a big deal? No, because, you know, if you're not solidified in your draft position, I got to think that NFL teams are going to not take kindly to you bailing on your team, before the season even starts.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So it seems like it might become a trend, but it probably won't, because the NFL is finicky like that. Barrett, thanks for hopping on with us. Appreciate you joining us for a couple minutes just to talk a little college football. Even though it didn't really get college football, it's more about the logistics of college football. But I appreciate you anyways.
Thanks, Dickie. Have a great day.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room, to candid interviews with basketball legends, to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.